there is a Japanese term that you might be familiar with. It is densho, D-E-N-S-H-O. I was not familiar with it, but that didn't surprise me. I'm not familiar with too much Japanese. I know a lot of Russian words. I was tutored in Russian for a year. Know a little bit of Spanish. I had two semesters of Spanish in high school. I know a little bit of English. Some people would tell me I don't know it well. But I absolutely know no Japanese. So the word densho, D-E-N-S-H-O, was foreign to me. While reading a book recently entitled Facing the Mountain, it's an enlightening read about Japanese Americans living in the U.S. in the years after the Japanese attack of Pearl Harbor and also some correlations to current times and current events, I learned this term, densho, and it made me think and it spurred me to talk about it today with you. For the most part, you're a mature generation, a mature congregation, and densho might be on your minds. In my opinion, anyone in their 20s or later should do this thing called densho. Densho is a Japanese term simply meaning to leave a legacy for future generations. To leave a legacy for future generations. That, of course, is a huge topic, not one for a split sermon, but I think we can boil it down to something tangible that we can all do. In fact, we're encouraged to do in the Bible. You may say, oh, Rihor, you're oversimplifying things. And perhaps I am. I have to do that for myself. I'm looking for just a few concrete things that will stay in my pea brain this week. A small nugget of information that I can meditate on. You may have more time this coming week than I do. I'm traveling and working in Texas and then traveling later in a week. But I must take some time, and also I hope you can simplify and define your actions and your examples in a way that you can refine and improve them. Your everyday actions and your example are your legacy. Your everyday actions and your example are your legacy. And that, brethren, is how we will leave a legacy for future generations. If you're young, it's the influence you might have on your friends or maybe your own kids. If you're older, it's an example that you set for, I don't know, your grandkids, those you interact with at the park, those you play bingo with. I'm not old, so I don't know what you guys do with your time. But we must first examine and improve and refine our actions and our examples. And if we do that, we'll be a man or a woman that others see and remember and pattern their lives after. That's my goal for you today. Let's see an example of how one human demonstrated densho. We'll see how Christ left a legacy to future generations. In my opinion, seeing if we can pattern our lives after Christ is a good start. Let's turn our Bibles and let's examine the example that he set. We'll see some examples of how we can do that. Again, be reminded, the point I wish to drive home today is that your everyday actions and your example are your legacy. The Bible, of course, has a different term with that. Stay with me. We'll get to it. If you want, turn in your Bibles to Luke 8 and verse 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. Break it in just a little bit. It says, he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. So he tells his followers to continue to proclaim that good news until his second coming. The gospel proclaims a time when all evil will be eradicated, a time there'll be no politicians, no Democrats, no Republicans, no closet socialists. God wants to see Or God wants people to see that his way of life, the way that will make the kingdom of God so wonderful, is the best way. He wants them to choose to live it. He does that by showing others how you and I live. It's a little bit scary to me. Not sure how well I do that. The good news is that we're told how to do it in Philippians. We'll read the first 14 verses, so if you don't turn to any other scripture during my message, turn to Philippians 2. We'll read a few scriptures there, or first several passages. I'm interested in this because I'm not sure how I can proclaim the gospel. Again, we're just told to do that. Does it mean that I have to wear a white shirt and go door to door? That'd be pretty tough, I think. Can you imagine you and me every day going from door to door? I'd knock and I'd get their attention, then I'd maybe leave you on the doorstep to try to encourage them and convince them. Not sure how effective we'd be. I have some serious doubts about it, actually. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. Let's turn to Philippians 2, because verse 5 here, it says, we are to have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. But let's jump in and read several scriptures here. I like these scriptures as they are succinct and they are solid direction on what I need to be working on. Again, if I want to leave a legacy, if I want to be a light to my family and maybe also others, I have to work and refine myself first and then show others how those actions are good for me and good for others. I was recently admonished to look happy and to smile. In fact, I was told that recently a couple different times from different people in different situations. I believe, in fact, I was told that my resting face is not that happy. As we get older, I think that's, you laugh because I guess you agree. Sitting there working on the computer and a lady walked by, I was like, what's the matter? Nothing. It's like, you don't look very happy. I'm like, I am. It's the resting face of an old tired man, perhaps. But I'm working on smiling more, being happier, or being happier and showing it. I'm a happy guy and I need to show it. God pours out so many blessings. I always say that I'm wildly blessed. And I should have and should not or should be anything. Or I'm sorry, I'll say that again. I should show happiness and have a smile on my face. But yet I don't, so I have to consciously try to demonstrate that God's way of life brings happiness and thus happiness and thankfulness. I can feel it. But if I don't show it, I am not setting the example that I or even God wants for me. I sat in a car this week for about 14 hours. Tammy was sleeping, so she didn't see me, but I consciously tried to smile. It's kind of weird going down the road. You smile for a little bit, you know, and then you think about something else, and you're pretty unhappy looking. If you happen to be on I-64 and saw me, I hope you didn't laugh. But this, again, it's a silly example, but I hope it demonstrates what I'm trying to do in my life, and then you can find things that you need to consciously do in your life. I'm getting aware of my wrinkles as I get older, and I never used to have wrinkles, but the wrinkles I don't mind having are my laugh or my smile lines. I'm okay with them. It means I'm showing that I'm happy and I'm blessed, and thus can be a light to others that this way of life works and is a happy way of life. When you apply for camp, especially teen camp, there's a question on the application that says, why do you want to be at teen camp, or why do you think you can give something to others? I can't remember the exact wording, but it always makes me think. And oftentimes my answer is, I want to show the teens or the preteens that God's way of life is fun. I work hard on that. Let's turn to Philippians 2, and we'll read a few scriptures here. I'll turn there myself just to make sure I have it in my notes correctly. It's always one of my fears to read something from my notes. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but rather in lowliness, or humbleness of mind, let each one esteem others better than yourselves. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. So it's given us some instructions, given us some tangible things that we can do. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be with equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. In other words, he humbled himself, made himself in likeness just like you and me. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. So he humbled himself first, and then God exalted him, giving him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in a nutshell, they were told to walk as he walked. That's 1 John 2 and verse 6. We are to love as he loved, and we are to serve as he served. Let's keep going here in Philippians. Verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, not only when people are looking, but also when people aren't looking, out on your own during the week, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Verse 14 hits home sometimes. Do these things, or do all things, without complaining, without whining, without disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So it's given us some really good things. It says, go about, do what you know to do, even when people aren't watching. Set an example and quit complaining. Tammy and I and Hannah, a couple others, taught on the waterfront this last week, and we encourage the kids to do different things, to be obedient, to stay in the kayaks, to not complain, not to whine, so that they could be lights to the world. Again, you might remember I told you at the beginning that we are to examine and then refine ourselves so that we can be examples for others. This is exactly what's being talked about here. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, keep doing this so that all this is not wasted. The theme for all the preteen and the teen summer camps this year is being lights in a dark world. So this topic, of course, is on my mind. Eight of us from this room were there and just returned from camp on Thursday. Others, of course, returned from Lone Star a week before last. Still others are heading to different camps yet this summer. You may think, or you may not think of yourself as a light to the world, but we should and we need to. We're told something in John 1 and verse 9. I'll read it to you, but John 1 and verse 9, God gave us a gift here. It says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. It's John 1 and verse 9. And then in turn, Jesus called on his followers to become lights to the world. So I guess the question is, how can we do that? Doing things for others clearly benefits them, but what Jesus said, of course, goes deeper than that. Again, the world talks about doing good works and different things like that, but Christ has something a bit more in mind. Of course, our legacy ultimately is something very, very great. In my opinion, our densho is incredible. I say our Densho, it's ultimately Christ's Densho that he has shared with us by our calling. I don't want to come across as presumptuous. We share in Christ's legacy, of course, the upcoming kingdom, his legacy that he shared with us, and we are to possess and to share it with others so that others can have a similar legacy. Let's turn to a key scripture that might be in your minds. Matthew 5 and verse 16, it's a key scripture. We talked about it at camp and probably, or maybe a memory scripture to you, especially when you're thinking about light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men." He said, why? In other words, he continues here, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Kind of a two-part answer there. God wants people to see his way of life in action, to capture the hope it represents for the kingdom that Jesus will inaugurate. The scripture calls this the good news of freeze, often translated as the gospel. So the Japanese call it densho. Perhaps the Bible calls it being a light to the world. Or perhaps more exactly put, we can leave a legacy to this world via the light that we cast for others. That light is our example of obedience, or as Matthew terms, our good works. It's a stark difference in that legacy, or a stark difference in that this legacy does not point back to us, but rather glorifies Christ and our Father in heaven. We must keep that humility that, in my opinion, many of you do very well. Keep that up while we work on this legacy. In the last remaining minutes, I wish to give you three reasons to be a light as the Bible encourages us to be. My time is limited, so let's keep moving. We should be a light to the world as it is, or as it does three things. First, point number one, it benefits you and your loved ones. As we discussed in the beginning, we have to refine and develop ourselves first before we can be a light. Of course, they go hand in hand. Having this focus of being an example, leaving a positive legacy, is important first and foremost, as we must improve ourselves first. Be somebody that others wish to follow. If you're like me, there's times that I am exemplary. And then there are other times where I'm a little bit embarrassing. Just ask my wife. We do not always shine. Not always in our golden moments, as it were. But we have to constantly try to minimize those moments. And equally important is to forgive and forget those moments of others as well. It goes both ways. As you and I are trying to grow and mature and improve, we have to, one, not beat ourselves up when we fail, but learn not to repeat it. But secondly, we need to forgive and forget about others when they are immature. Both are important. We're all humans, and we're all immature at times. You may think at some time I'm not handling some certain situation well, or maybe I'm too silly for a occasion, or joked around when it was a serious situation. I'm working on that in my life. That's a way that I'm working to be a light to the world. I'm diligently working on myself and my shortfalls so that I can be a better or a stronger light. Tammy and I were talking this morning. What will people remember about you? Will they remember your things, your cars, your house? Some of us lost a lot of things this week. What people remember about you are your actions. What they remember about me are my actions. My example, or your example, in tough times. We all remind ourselves that our actions and even our words are what is noticed. The first point was worded purposefully. Working on your Den Show or being a light to the world will help you and your loved ones, your family, people close to you. They are the ones that you love the most and care about the most. We are working on ourselves to help others and to help our loved ones. If you're still in the Gospels, you might turn to John 13 and verse 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. The New King James in verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." In other words, I've set an example. I've worked on my actions, or I've set perfect example of actions. Now you go and do it. The example has been set. Now go and follow it. The world, of course, has a funky definition of love. God has a much simpler one, doing to others as you would want done to you. And secondly, of course, outgoing concern for others. As I refine and improve myself, it benefits me and it benefits my loved ones, and I'm working on being in the kingdom of God, refining my actions and my thoughts so God will want me in his spiritual family. That's my goal. Let's keep moving. Point number two. Point number two is your friends and neighbors, your colleagues will remember you now or after the second resurrection. So in addition to being a light to your family, again, this is point number two, your friends and your neighbors and your colleagues will remember you now or after the second resurrection. So in addition to being a light to your family, we are refining our actions and examples for our neighbors and our friends, perhaps our colleagues, people we rub shoulders with at the grocery store or at Walmart, for those of you that love Walmart. A familiar verse, again, at Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "You are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but rather on a stand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven." Again, that's 13 through 16. I think this verse is talking about two different groups. I'm not positive. It talks about those in your house. Then it uses a different pronoun. Let your light shine before men. The real kicker is that this process of refining ourselves, call it glorying or growing in God the character, call it whatever you wish, but this growth process, of course, can get discouraging. That's why we're developing our legacy for different reasons or different groups. Sometimes our family, talked about in point number one, will appreciate you and admire your process, and they may or may not walk similarly. But I'm thinking about a lady in Nashville. You may know her. For decades, her unbelieving husband did not make life easy for her or her kids. She struggled to get to the feast. She struggled to get her kids to camp. Her legacy or her example, after years and years and years, was finally noticed, and her husband was baptized last year. Amazingly. We all have the stories. Tammy's mom has a family member that grew up in the church and left it for 50 years. Exactly 50 years, in part because, in my opinion, of one example in his life. One light out of his whole sphere of friends and family. One light out of his whole family. Again, the point I'm trying to drive home is that people do notice your refined actions and your examples. Now, of course, they notice our unrefined ones as well. There's a chance that God will use your example and your light to call them, and there's a chance you, in their eyes, will be the opposite. You may simply look like a dork to them. For those that are in this situation with family, I wish to encourage you. Their time of calling is not for us to decide. Your family may look at you not eating pork, keeping or not keeping Christmas, and simply think of you again as a dork. Likewise, Matthew 3 and verse 14, those out in the neighborhood or those at school or work or your favorite store may admire you and look up to you, not to make you look special, but to see your good works and in return glorify God the Father. They do that by being ultimately obedient to God. We must remember that we are working and refining our actions for ourselves to reflect Christ so we can obtain everlasting life. And to do that, all important second main reason, of course, to glorify God. As the late TV infomercials always state, wait, 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 there's more. Again, this second point brings out that other possibility. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Again, this second point is that we may be remembered only after the second resurrection. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we may set a great example. Others may see it, but yet not glorify God immediately. In fact, they probably won't. But they will when their minds are opened to God's truth. In other words, your legacy may only be remembered after they die and are resurrected and given another chance to be called. And then they will go, ah, I remember that Dave guy. I remember that Chuck guy. I remember how they obeyed and they read the Bible. I remember he never had ham sandwiches. I remember he never swore on the job. Or I remember that woman. I never knew her name, but I'd always see her at Kroger's on Tuesdays. She was different. She was kind. I thought she was weird at the time, but she must have been a believer back then. Ah, I see. I always thought she was an odd one, and now I know because she is one of my spirit being teachers. I remember her. True Christians, you and me, should become living, breathing representations of the character of God. All Christians should come to represent Jesus Christ's teachings, his faith, his love, his character, and his coming kingdom. The million-dollar question is, how well do you do that? How well do I do that? If you want some personal Bible study this week, you might study in the concept of representing God. When it comes to representing him, of course, we're told and encouraged to be three things. Christians, of course, you might remember, are to be salt. We're encouraged to be lights, and we're encouraged to be cities on a hill. Jesus used those three analogies of salt, light, and the prominent visibility of a city on a hill to illustrate how his followers should strive to represent him. They're interesting analogies. My last and shortest point is point number three. Point number three is we will be leaders in the kingdom. We will share this legacy with all of mankind under Christ at our side. We will be leaders in the kingdom. We will share this legacy with all of mankind under Christ at our side. This is our ultimate goal and the prize I want to leave with you. The real goal for working on our actions and developing our example. Do not forget that this kingdom of God, of course, is a literal kingdom, not some foo-foo concept made up or dreamt up. We're working now to be representatives to this kingdom of God. Of course, the kingdom of God is a literal kingdom. It'll have a king, Jesus Christ. It'll have territory right here on earth. It'll have citizens, of course, human subjects. And it will have laws based, of course, on the Ten Commandments. Last scripture this afternoon is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Heading in my Bible says, our final victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. So in other words, our everyday actions have to change. Behold, I tell you, verse 51, you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. It's kind of exciting. The exciting thing is that our actions, our work will not only benefit us, but it will also offer opportunities, ultimately benefit all of mankind. It's a cool opportunity. It's cool to be a part of. Talk about a legacy. In my opinion, that's a whole new definition of legacy, or a whole new definition of densho. I'm certain this goes beyond the Japanese concept of densho. They define it as, quote, to leave a legacy for future generations.